Welcome to The Ingredients, a podcast from Open Pantry Co. about building hospitality that matters. I'm Sean DeVries, and in each episode, I sit down with the operators, makers, and minds shaping the future of venues all across Australia. It's not just about what's on the plate or behind the bar. It's about the people, the systems, and the ideas driving hospitality forward. Now let's get into today's episode.
I once sat down with the accountant and said, you know, what's your point of difference? And he said, I don't have one. I thought, oh, I'm called bullshit on that. Like,
tell the folks who you are and what you do.
I'm Matt Hill. I run a company called Digital Plus Marketing, part of a group of three businesses, Zuz's parent company, the Zuz Group, which was founded in Melbourne. It's now around Australia and in North America as well. And that does brand influencer and social media marketing. And then we've got a separate entity again, which is called Reputation Partners, which is cleaning up issues online for people. But my real thing is the strategic marketing space and roll up the sleeves and getting in the trenches with people and, and working their businesses.
With those different facets of what you do, like what do you find restaurants and bars and hospitality venues come to you for first and use you for?
Well, it's probably not too dissimilar to you. Often they come maybe later than they should. They come when there's some issues going on and, they're not getting quite the outcome they're wanting, and they come to you sort of as a rescue method. The ones I do love working with is when someone comes to you saying, listen, I've got this idea. I've put down a deposit for a lease at this venue. I'm wanting to create this sort of vibe or feel. Like, what do we need to examine? What's out there in the marketplace? What are our competitors doing?
Mm.
Who's doing this really well? Who's not? And I get an opportunity to work with them on examining what's actually happening in the marketplace before we get too far down the track and have to backtrack or undo some of the expenses that have gone out so far.
Yeah.
So that's the fun stuff. That's the bit I love doing.
With influencer marketing, like, I know the industry's gone through just these ups and downs of how they use influencers in venues, especially in places like cafes and restaurants, for example. Do you find the hospitality industry's influencers are still strong, or do you find it's coming off a bit, or using them in different ways maybe?
Yeah, so it is a bit of a case of using them in different ways, probably more than anything. And some of the influencer marketing space has changed from bleached blonde tanned ladies selling teeth whitening through to probably people of more influence and status in the community for something that they're passionate about or more have achieved something great in either the sports or the entertainment or the business sector.
Mm.
So for them to be utilised on something like a restaurant space is actually probably more valuable and a bit more authentic. So
sure.
I think authenticity seems to be what cuts through in everything in marketing these days. Yes, you can be quirky and interesting and inventive. Yes, you can get some interesting influencers in, but it still has to be in line with the brand of that business and have some authenticity for it to really get cut through.
Does it take a while when you first start working with a client to figure out their voice and how them to be authentic? Because it is so competitive, and especially in cafes, for example, and restaurants. Like, is it, you know, every cafe or restaurant Instagram can kind of start to look the same, for example, right? Like, how do you make sure that their voice is different from the market?
Yeah.
You know?
It is like everything. It's pretty rare these days to have an industry or a service provider that doesn't have a lot of competitive nature to what they're doing. I'll give you the example of, say, accounting. I once sat down with an accountant and said, you know, what's your point of difference? And he said, I don't have one. I went, well, like, do you have clients? Yeah. Well, why do those clients choose you? I don't know, location? I thought, oh, I'm called bullshit on that.
Like, yes.
Why do you go to a restaurant or a cafe? What is it about that restaurant or cafe that you really like?
Mm.
How do you capture that? I mean, and some of the workshopping process I like to do with people is has anyone bought from you before? Who are those people and who else can we be reaching? And it's a pretty simple thing. So the sooner you engage in that discussion, the better, and the more open-minded the restaurateur or the cafe owner is, the more effective a result we can achieve.
Yep.
And we can achieve that pretty quickly, but it really does require people to be willing to just examine themselves and, you know, no sacred cows, everything's on the table, and just really strip it back a bit. But, you know, if you look, we're here at Whistle and Flute, which is a cracking venue.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, Josh and his team and in all of his businesses have done an incredible job in just being able to say, this is exactly who we are and who we aren't.
Yep.
And don't vary from that. Don't try to be all things to all people. Don't try and reach every consumer market. Don't be too greedy. Understand your niche. And then, and probably, you know, all of it is deliver exactly the kind of product for the price point you've got. So it's very complex.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, you would know, it's not rocket science. It's, there are a number of different facets that when it comes to finding what your voice is and how you want to tell the market that.
Yep. Yep.
It's really just spending the time to get that information as clear as possible and then own it. Own it with a bit of passion. Because every cafe owner and restaurateur I've ever met is pretty passionate about what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you sort of have to be because it's a pretty brutal industry.
Yes.
So I think if they're passionate and they love what they're doing and that can be demonstrated the way their whole operation functions, therefore the voice is going to flow out of that.
I know when we've caught up before with you, me and Diane, like we've talked about, obviously you've been a digital marketer, but also thinking about non-digital elements in order to market hospitality businesses. Can you explain sort of some projects you've done which are non-digital, which actually affect the digital in a positive way?
Yeah, 100%. I think that like the advent of any new marketing tool almost seems to be seen as that's the only thing we need to do now. So when digital marketing sort of first came on the scene, maybe sort of 10 years ago, then at that point people were sort of thinking we don't need to do any other traditional marketing. You know, the death of newspapers means you don't do anything that people are going to physically read. Still have bookstores. People still like their, you know, touch and feel. We ran a program a while ago which was a really off the beaten track restaurant that was a real favourite for the local region. And it was a local region that were an older demographic. So they still receive mail in the letterbox. They still read their junk mail. So all we did is we set a program in place where every week there was a new offer or a new menu item that was advertised through their local letterbox drop. Very inexpensive. The restaurateur was actually going out putting them in letterboxes because he had, you know, an hour spare, which meant people got to see him out and about, passionate about his business. It actually got cut through because then you could also measure the effectiveness of that, which then, interestingly, had to still follow across onto the digital platforms. So if you've got an offer of a free bottle of wine with every two meals, you want to put that on your social media too, but get people to bring in the physical thing so you can actually track, monitor the metrics and results from your marketing program. But signage still works. The way in which your staff addressed and your brand, your artwork and your logo and your the way you style your facility, all of these all have an impact on it. So you can't rely entirely on social media because you're right, go to the social media account for the last four cafes you've been to and they all kind of look much of a muchness. So how do you stand out? What are you going to do that really demonstrates your point of difference?
How often do you think a venue should look at their strategy around social media and marketing in general? Because you've got so many different channels in which social media is important. You know, obviously Facebook is still there, Instagram, TikTok, all these different platforms. How often should they revisit and look at their strategy and make sure they're being authentic and staying on, staying on message?
So setting up a full-blown strategy is probably something you want to do once, but you should be revisiting the results on that on an in hospitality on a weekly basis. You should be doing a thorough pull through of every bit of data and metrics you can possibly get on a monthly basis. I would be suggesting at very least once a year, if not once every 6 months, go back and you know, we talked about no sacred cows. There can't be sacred cows in business. Like you're literally everything, including the person running, including the agency that's doing the marketing, including whoever's behind the counter, every single part of that business needs to be reviewed. And if you, if you're not continually making adjustments or refining or examining the results of it, you're going to be flying blind. So it's not about a complete overhaul, changing marketing agencies every 6 months or any of that type of thing. Because in all reality, every marketing person could turn up to a place and pick holes in what someone else has done.
Yep.
So it is important to have an understanding of what you want to do and stick to that. But review it, revisit it, examine the results from it, and check the marketplace. In hospitality, there's new venues opening all the time. But what are they offering? Why are they doing that? Why are we quieter on this day? Are they going somewhere else on this day? Is someone offering something we're not? So I think it's critical to have a baseline that you stick to, but absolutely examine every single part of what you're doing on a regular basis.
If you're a venue and you don't have the money or you don't think you have the money to employ a marketing person like yourself in a great organization like you have, and they need to do it themselves if they're starting up or whatnot, what advice would you give them to make sure that their message is authentic and they can actually produce good social media content? Because it is a real art form to make sure you can produce really good content consistently.
So I've often said to people is you do have to invest upfront to get the strategy piece and the content structure defined first. Then if it means all you're using is your iPhone to take photos and videos and whatever else, but you've got a framework that you're working from.
Mm.
So rather than an external agency delivering it, at least have someone set that up in place. Now, I know that comes at a cost, but in the same way as when you look at this venue here, it's got a fantastic layout. Could you, with your spare time, go and get some pallets and create a wall out of, you know, leftover pallets? Yeah. Will it look anywhere near as good as this? No.
Mm.
Will it stand the test of time? No. Mm. You know, getting cheap globes versus beautiful, you know, pear-shaped drop globes. What's the difference in the buy? Do you invest up front in something that's going to pay off down the track?
Mm.
So in the same way, it's critical to go ahead and actually get at least the right structure and strategy in place before you take it over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But another cost-effective way of doing that is actually just to engage someone similar to what you guys are doing, mm-hmm. which is actually engage someone as a consultant or an advisor that might do a one-hour monthly meeting with you with an agenda to go through step-by-step and actually tick off how well each thing is performing. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cost-effective way. It might be an hourly rate. It might cost you $400 or $500 a month instead of paying, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month on a full-blown agency running everything for you.
Mm.
That just helps you keep on track and perhaps have an external eye run over what you're doing. There are more cost-effective ways of doing it, but what it often comes down to is being vigilant in ensuring that you deliver the stuff. Because one of the first things that seems to drop off when business gets busy is, oh, shit, I haven't done a post for 2 weeks now. And all of a sudden your viewership and your engagement drops. It takes a long time to get it back up.
Agree.
Yeah, having that external person similar to what yourself and Di are doing, I think, is paramount to a business. At the very least, engaging someone to keep track of it with you.
My final question to you is, like, you're so close to hospitality marketing, both here in South Australia, but also, you know, the rest of the country. You'd probably see trends that sometimes us in the industry can't see because we're so deep in it. You can have a helicopter view. Is there any kind of venues or kind of cuisines that you're seeing coming through as being the new trends going into 2025?
I think we're talking before about authenticity is what seems to get better cut through now and better engagement is just a little bit of the warts and all about a business. So you can shoot things with the best tools and facilities you've got to get great video or great photography for social media. You can have an absolute stunning website. But when you look at some of the ones, particularly like if you look at, say, the Sydney, Melbourne restaurant market, where you get, you know, ones like Chin Chin,
yep,
that are just right out there, but they own their brand so well. And their website is, from a technical point of view, is completely disastrous to navigate around. But they're not trying to be a corporate website. They're just trying to be a state-of-the-art food hospitality delivery service in producing that amazing outcome for whoever dines there. So you go there with that expectation. So everything they do is 100% on brand. So some of those, I think, are really owning their voice, their authenticity, and doing that exceptionally well. So I think it comes right back to where we started is, like, know who you are, what your voice is, and just own it with a little bit of, be a bit ballsy on it and say, that's just who we are, and stick to that and carry that right the way through. So Chin Chin's a prime example.
Manuel, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Ingredients. Now, if this episode has sparked something for you, like an idea or a question or a reminder, we'd love for you to share it with those in the industry that you know. So hit follow or subscribe on your podcast app or wherever you're listening or watching to this from. And if you've got 30 seconds, a quick rating or review always makes a huge difference for us in helping others find the show too. You can also follow us at Open Pantry Co. on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn or TikTok to keep up with what we're building. Finally, we've also got a newsletter which comes out every other Friday called The Sandwich Press. But don't worry, all the links to find out all about this are in the show notes of this podcast. Until next time, keep creating the kind of venues that people want to come back to. Cheers.